Good afternoon, Muskegon. You know what time it is. It's time for Torn Into August 19th, 2022. It is 77 degrees, mostly sunny outside. It's a beautiful day. And let me tell you, thank you so much, people. I am back. I took 1 week of vacation, and I took a second week where we raised $41,000 for hospice. And I want to thank you guys. I want to thank this guy right here, Pastor Melvin Burns. How you doing, sir?
Well, brother, first of all, it's good to have you back. I'm glad you got a little vacation in, and also you had a week off at work for a real worthy cause there. So, but it's good to have you back in the chair.
Yeah. You did a great job, man. You had some great people.
I did. They all met, well, including the staff there and the guests, they all made me look and sound like I knew what I was doing.
I tell you what, you know my favorite was last week.
Oh, yeah, man. We need to go down there and hang out with Teddy for a little while, don't we?
Uncle Teddy?
Uncle Teddy, yeah.
I like that name, Uncle Teddy. Yeah. Listen, we're just going to get down to brass tacks. There are a lot of people out there that have this opinion, and I'm just going to be frank, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, once you serve a crime and go to prison or jail, mm-hmm. once you have served that time, yes. you've done what you are supposed to do, yes. According to what this country says.
Yes.
Unfortunately, some people like to continue that label mm-hmm. on people. And that's a crime in itself, because there was only one that was perfect. But I know I'm preaching to the choir on that. But I want to bring on a friend of mine and talk a little bit about his story and talk about expungement laws. And we're running into a date. There's going to be an expungement clinic September 10th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Kingdom Life Church, 1215 East Apple Avenue, Muskegon, Michigan. Now, what is expungement? And we're going to get into the details. Put your hands together for our guest, Mr. Terry Johnson. How you doing, sir?
Man, I'm doing awesome. Good to see you guys again, both of you and Pastor Burns, and good that you actually took a vacation, man. That's what I call now on my end. That is a godly jealousy. I want you to understand. I need a vacation too.
Yeah.
But all is well, man. It's good to be back again. I appreciate you guys having me back.
Good. We appreciate you taking this opportunity to. We need to break some stuff down and talk about some stuff. Terry, I know your story. Pastor Burns might remember your story, but tell the people a little bit about your story. And this is a success story, by the way.
And the success story, which a lot of people don't hear about. Okay, fine. I am not from Muskegon, Michigan. I landed here in Muskegon, Michigan in 2011, March, actually. Of 2011, and I decided to make this my home because it was just so different from Detroit, where I grew up. Mm-hmm. And being in Detroit, I want to say I like to start with the story of how Terry Johnson arrived here. But one of the things that I never really put into the story is who was he before he arrived here?
All right.
And so I grew up going into the Detroit school system, and I was what was considered a really good student. That being said, I was pretty much a straight-A student. And upon leaving high school, I got a scholarship to go to college where I thought I wanted to be a lawyer. But I did actually want to be a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And so I started studying pre-law in my first year of college, and I was doing like pre-law, political science, criminal justice, and all those kind of things. I had assignments where I would go down to the courtrooms and report on cases and write my essays and whatnot and submit, you know, to my instructor. So I had a pretty good fair shake intellectually, so to speak. But growing up in Detroit, you know, of course, there's that allure for the street life. And at a very early age, I was introduced to street life. And sometimes I wonder how I was able to balance the both the academia as well as the street life. And somehow it caught up with me after years, you know, it did not work out well. But I grew up in the area of Detroit, which we call the Black Bottom. And that's like the east side. You know, a lot of people say the east side is the worst. And I said, no, the west side was pretty rough. But I grew up on the east side of Detroit. And at a very young age, I encountered what we call the gang life. There was gangs in our neighborhoods. There was the Mac Hoods. There was the Bishops, the Bowery Boys. There was so many gangs. And I eventually, at a young age, was inducted into a gang because they used to chase me home every day from school and say, either you join the gang or we're going to beat you up every day. But I didn't get beat up every day. I just got tired of running. And so I ended up joining the gangs, and I was exposed to a lot of stuff at a very young age. You know, there was the violence part of it. There was the substance abuse or drug abuse. Or just to put it bluntly, there was the drug gang in Detroit. And so at a young age, I was introduced to a lot of that. And I believe it was a combination of things. I tell people that for a long time, I threw rocks at the penitentiary. And that simply means I was doing things at a young age that would cause me to be in juvenile, county jail, detention, all of these things, and eventually lead to prison. Mm-hmm. So that's what I mean by throwing rocks at the penitentiary. You know, you just doing knuckleheaded stuff, and that was me. And so at the age of 25, I found myself in front of a judge who sentenced me to 25 to 50 years in prison. And as a 25-year-old man, first time ever really being in trouble, or should I say being caught, so to speak. A lot of people say, well, I've done that too. I just never got caught. Yeah, that was my first time just being caught, you know, because I was guilty of a whole lot of other stuff. But it caused me to be sentenced to 25 to 50 years in prison, which I did 22 years of, and I went in at 25 and came out at 47. And so if I could just tell my age now, I've been home 11 years now. So if you can add that up real quick, you know, I'm a little older. So, but yeah, and that's my story. But however, what happened with me is going through the prison system for the very first time, and I mean landing at Jackson Correctional Facility in Jackson, Michigan, to me was so traumatic for me that it was like I have to position myself to never ever let this happen to me again. So for 22 years, man, I did nothing but study. I read, I got involved in everything positive. I learned to play three instruments. I was always involved in church functions. I was leading the church inside the prison system. So there's a lot of things that I did to make myself better and not bitter. And so that being said, I used to run a lot of the groups inside of prison. I've run just about every last one of them. I've done real estate classes. I've done Thinking for Change, Cage Rage, NAAA, everything you can imagine that was that comprised of self-help. I would learn it and provide it to the prison population, you know, for self-improvement. So when I came home, I pretty much was doing that. The same thing, but now it was on a different level because now I'm here. And that being said, if you can imagine a guy doing something like that for a long time, for being incarcerated for 22 years and come out and get a job as now where he works in corrections. I work inside the jail now, and I'm like, they gave me keys to the jail. And I think that's such an amazing opportunity because, somebody else held the keys to keep me out. But somebody else said, we're going to give you the keys to go in and we're going to put you to where you can help young men and women who are on that path, you know.
Yes.
And so that's what I do now. I work for an organization here in Muskegon, Michigan, that allows me to go in and talk about substance abuse and help people get on the right track, you know. And then I get a chance to tell my experience and say, listen, if I can do it, you can do it. You know, because for years I was addicted to substances. Crack, if I can even just say it like this. I tell people for the sake of being blunt, and sometimes I do it for the sake of, you know, it's that wow factor. When I say for years I was a crackhead. You know, I smoked crack cocaine, and I smoked marijuana every day. And so those were my substances, and now when I tell people that, I also have to say, okay, y'all ready? I got to say it.
You got to say it.
I've been doing that for the last 33 years. So
nice.
33, almost 34 years now. And so I live a different lifestyle now. And if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the truncated version of Terry Johnson.
But that's not all of Terry Johnson, because you talked a little bit about what you're doing, but what are you doing now so we can be very clear? You changed everything around and what you're doing now.
I am actually what's called a peer support specialist for Health West here in Muskegon, which means that I talk to people about substance abuse. I talk to them about changing the life around, doing a different lifestyle. And I do quite a bit of things. I facilitate a class over at Fresh Coast Alliance, where a class called CLEAR. And that simply means it's an acronym for Coalition, Leadership, Education, Accountability, and Rehabilitation. And the whole purpose behind the CLEAR group in and of itself is to bridge the gap and repair the breach between community and law enforcement. Because growing up, we've always had this idea where we don't talk to the police. You know, we don't kick it with the cops, you know, that kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth of the matter is, I think that was something that was handed down to us, and we didn't really understand the ramifications behind that school of thought. And so that being said, that school of thought allows you not to kick it with the police, but allows you to do other things that are contrary to the police and law enforcement. And so now I facilitate this class, and there are a lot of people, the majority, well, actually everybody that sits in the class is situated where they have been entangled with the legal system at some point, whether it's substance abuse, prison, jails, or whatever. And so those are the ones that are in the class that come to the group, as well as I work side by side with law enforcement to help bridge that gap. Because the thing is, and a lot of people don't understand, is law enforcement, they are people too. And what I get from them on a lot of different levels is we want to help. We want to be instrumental in putting our community back together. How can we help? And so the law enforcement component to the CLEAR group is they come in to say, I want to understand. I want to be able to come in and say, I know this man or I know this woman, and I need to do what I can do in terms of being law enforcement to help instead of just going out and locking them up and pulling my gun.
Now, Muskegon, before we go further, I go to that class. And that class right there is a wonderful class on Thursdays that you get a chance to talk and break down.
Yeah.
One of the issues we talked about was troubleshooting,
mm-hmm.
And problems and stuff like that. And you get to break it down on different levels to come up to a common goal. And I want to commend you for doing that. Yes. Let's go to the board already. Commendable. Both your self-preservation and applying your experiences and knowledge towards encouraging and helping others. Thank you, Benina.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Benina, because it has to be a time where a person that has the what we call lived experience. You have to make that decision to say, I'm not going to be part of the problem anymore. I want to be part of the solution. So in essence, let me help clean up what I helped mess up, pretty much.
Right. So with that said, on top of the CLEAR class and the top of counseling, there is a date that is coming up like now for anybody that has been in prison to get stuff taken off your record. It's called expungement.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about that and how important that is.
Well, the expungement laws are changing. It's crazy, but so needful at the same time that we could see the laws that are designed to keep us down are now actually trying to be more conducive in us being more productive. And that being said, there were a lot of changes in the laws, expungement laws in 2021. Mm-hmm. And so expungement in a nutshell just simply says, if you have a record, you can get that thing wiped clean. As a matter of fact, I was leaving work today, and two days ago, and I saw a young lady that I know, and she was going into the building, And she was going just for that purpose. And I was like, wow, you know, but expungement simply in a nutshell says, let's give you a clean slate. And that in part is what's referenced to with the expungement laws starting 2023. Many crimes that many people that have been convicted of certain crimes will automatically have those charges or convictions expunged, wiped away. And that's going to be starting in 2023. It's going to be done automatically, and it's called a clean slate. And that's saying that we're going to offer another opportunity. Because here's what's happening. I'm glad you said it, Greg. You said it real good. When a person commits a crime and they do their time, they go in and do their time. But some people, even after doing time, some people, when people come out from doing time, others hold them still accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying you've done your time, you deserve a second chance. It's like, no, you will never get another chance in terms of the way I think. You know, and that's kind of a mindset that, you know, will probably shift also with the new expungement laws once they become enacted. Now, I will say that not all, under the Clean Slate Act, not all convictions or felonies and or misdemeanors will be just automatically wiped away. Some will have to go through what's called an application process, and that simply means that you will have to apply, fill out an application, and go through the legal process to say, okay, mines were not expunged out automatically, but because of the new laws and because of the class of felonies and or misdemeanors that are being put back in, then I still have an opportunity to say, hey, can I have this expunged?
Mm-hmm. Melvin Burns, Pastor.
Yeah. Well, so much good stuff there, Terry. Mm-hmm. So for somebody like me who really hadn't been through this process, I want to understand it better. And mm-hmm. So once your record's been expunged, you don't have to report that, you know, when employers ask past convictions, you don't have to report that at all.
No, sir. No, okay. You don't. Okay. It's not even there for them to review.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And so basically what that does is that gives that person a better foothold,
sure,
to say, here's Terry, you know, so here's who I am, instead of saying, hey, I think you need to know that back 20 years ago, you know, I ran over a dog and they convicted me of child animal or animal and cruelty, you know, you wouldn't have that in front of you. So I think that would be such an opportunity for people who really, really want to get their lives back on track.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you look at some of the charges of, you know, selling marijuana, selling crack, selling some of the things that people have gone to prison for lengthy stays and stuff like that, which we won't even argue about that. But I think that the system is trying to realize some of those were too severe, Terry.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Now, of course, there are some that will not meet the criteria in terms of expungement, because there are certain like felonies that would carry a maximum life sentence. Of course, like we know, murder, you know, can carry a maximum life sentence. Those kind of felonies, to my understanding, right now, will not or cannot be expunged.
Mm.
Okay. But anything under that, you know, then there are a few There are some that like child pornography, human trafficking, of course, and there are certain types of child abuse as well as domestic violence. You know, that for some reason, those do not meet the criteria under expungement. And we got to kind of understand, even what, like for right now, driving while impaired or operating while impaired, they're not expungible right now.
Mm-hmm.
Some armed robberies as well, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right, because armed robbery in and of itself is a floater. It carries any term number of years up until life. Mm-hmm. And so when you say it carries a life, it can have a life sentence maximum. Yeah, that's probably something that, you know, probably wouldn't be looked at as expunged. But you can always apply. You can always apply. But I know February of 2022 that a single first offense for driving while intoxicated or driving under influence, a single first offense can be expunged. So I had to go back and straighten that one up, because I did say operating while intoxicated. But yeah, a single And that was implemented just this year as of February 2022.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Terry, I want you to talk to the person that did some time that is at home or whatever, saying the hell with that. I didn't want to go through the system. I don't want to go through that crap. Why should I even go through it again? Talk to them.
Mm. I think it would be very meaningful in this respect that now once it's expunged, you can move in a certain way, because here's the one thing I hear a lot of is people with felonies or convictions. They say they're not going to hire me because of, I can't do anything because of. Mm-hmm. And some of that is a real valid issue. And so that takes away that opportunity for the person to say, I can't get hired or can't get a job because I have a felony, because now that puts you on a different footing.
Mm-hmm.
It puts you in a place where before you couldn't do certain things or go certain places. There were people who couldn't even get passports because of having felonies or prior convictions. Mm-hmm. And so when I first got my passport, you know, I was like, I'm going to Jamaica. So I'm going to Jamaica and I wanted to live on the beach when I got to Jamaica. It was like, wow, you know.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, if I could say anything to a person that's thinking, you know, that you don't want to do or go through that system again, I would say go through it, because it's not only is it needful, it's so rewarding, because it frees you up. It frees you up from the stigma that people will put on you constantly. And that's just the truth. That's the real bones about it. People are
trying. Right, that's just the truth. Mm-hmm. Pastor Burns.
Terry, talk about for people who are currently incarcerated that you deal with, how mm-hmm. this is part of a what you may use to in counseling them and dealing with them.
Can you repeat that for me again?
In terms of dealing with people that are currently incarcerated, mm-hmm. why don't you talk about what this expungement means for them as you're dealing with people? You know, they are looking at life getting out.
Right. It means this, because a lot of people say, I want to get my life back on track. I want to get my life back. I want to have another opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I think this is just one more bow that you can put on the box.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the thing about where I'm at now, and I work in the county jail here.
Mm-hmm.
This is a transitory incarceration.
Mm-hmm.
Very transitory, way more than the prison system itself.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, that the door is going to open.
Right.
And so when that door opens, if you're really serious about making a change in your life, this mm-hmm. is just another bow that you can put on the box of the gift of life. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? If I can even say it like that. This is just something else that you can do to enhance your life and allow you to move in a way that convictions will not. Because truth be told, a lot of people say, well, you know, just be honest, just tell us about it. You know, we won't hold it against you. And you be honest and tell them about it, and they hold it against you.
They hold it against you, right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would just, what I do is I encourage people. It's like, listen, here's what you can do. Because they'll say, well, I can't even go back to school because of a felony. Here is what you can do.
Right.
This is what's available.
Okay.
I said, well, I can't go to school because I don't have any money. Here is what you can do. So,
mm-hmm. right.
Yeah, I think it's such a great opportunity for me even to be in that position to say, here's what you can do.
Terry, talk to the other individuals going, three strikes and you're out. And, you know, once a criminal, always a criminal. You'll always be a bum. Talk to them right now. And don't hold nothing back. Yeah, I know you have work.
That is such a mindset that is just crazy. It kind of reminds me, and I really hate to make this analogy, but it's true. It reminds me of when we look back in slavery and you couldn't do nothing because of the chains that were on your body. And once the chains are no longer on your body, we wanted chains so bad that we took the chains away from the arms and the legs and we put them on the mind. So when people think like that, that is a mental prison that will keep you from, and that's worse than a physical prison, because people can get out of physical prison, but some people cannot get out of a mental prison.
Mm.
I would just, to that, it's just like saying that mindset has got to change. It can only change by you hanging around or being in association with people who not only know it, but have done it.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, this thing is very possible. because it's such a defeatist attitude when you say once a criminal, always a criminal. It's such a defeatist attitude when you say once a drug addict or an alcoholic, that's all I'm going to ever be. Mm-hmm. That is so self-defeating. And so now we have to take that mindset and we have to flip that thing, the paradigm. Once the paradigm begins to shift, then the person begins to change.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, and we all know this is the saying very well, be careful of your thoughts because your thoughts become words.
Right.
Words become actions and your actions become habits and your habits become behavior. And your behavior will ultimately become your destiny. And so those are some of the things that we got to be mindful of. And say, look, I have to change this thing right now. I have to change the way I think, or else it's going to be my destiny. You know, my destiny is I'm going to always be an alcoholic.
That's Burns.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask a naive question. I would think everybody who's been incarcerated, once, you know, they served their full sentence, will want to have their record expunged. What keeps people from doing it?
From having a record expunged?
From pursuing getting their record expunged.
Motivation. Motivation would definitely keep a person away from doing, and as well as the lack of knowledge. Because when you don't understand, and it, like the saying goes, people fear what they don't understand. When they don't understand it, they fear the process. And so they don't even go try to do it. You know, because one, I don't understand. I don't know enough about it. And I'm not willing to do nothing different because I'm in my comfort zone.
Right.
You know, so there's so many different factors. I can't even put my finger on one thing and say that this is the panacea, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. True. Yeah. But yeah, it's so many things involved. And when we get to talk to people, that's when we learn where they at, what they're thinking, and why wouldn't they do it? And that's where somebody like me come in and say, this is why you should.
Right. Right. How important is it for, like, to have individuals like yourself to tell people this is why you should?
I think it's so instrumental. I think the importance of it, man, I don't think I can express it enough, Greg, because here's the thing. We need to have the village raising the children again, okay? And what I mean by that is not only people with lived experience, but people who have never been incarcerated saying, here are some things that are available to you. So we would have both ends, bookends, so to speak.
Hold on, you preaching good. Let's pass the plate and repeat what you just said.
I would say we would have to have the village raise the children, so to speak, because people who have lived experience, of course, yeah, they can come in and say, this is something that you should do. But people who do not have lived experience, but know that change is possible, we can bookend this thing, and we can have the people in between saying, now I have somebody that lived it, but also I have somebody that's accepted me that's never been in it. Because that is paramount when you talk about people who've never been incarcerated, accepting those who have been incarcerated and giving them another chance. That is so paramount in the process. Huge.
Okay. Pastor Burns.
Okay. So I, you know, I'm a little hesitant. I'm thinking of showing up in this event on September 10th. What do I need to bring with me? What do I need to know before I come?
A person would they would have to come in with their ID.
Okay.
It's so important that you really bring your ID. But I will say this, if somebody, and if I'm understanding your question right, if somebody wanted to come in and say, hey, I want to be part of this, you can pre-register for this event. And that's done by August the 24th. And that's done by going on the Fresh Coast Alliance page and clicking on all Fresh Coast events and scrolling down till you see expungement clinic. Okay. And then you can pre-register right there on the spot. You can fill out what they call a pre-screening application.
Okay.
And upon coming there, just bring your ID. When you come in, bring your ID. And everything else is the stage is set. All you have to do is, I tell people all the time, I know you don't feel like doing it. I know this is foreign to you. Just show up.
Okay.
Great.
Just show up.
One thing that is very important to for this is expungement class on September the 10th at 10 to 3 o'clock. You must pre-register by Wednesday, August the 24th.
You must pre-register.
And that was one reason why I wanted to get you guys on here. You must bring your ID.
Right.
And there's a couple other things but you must do that. You, so if you are sitting home right now, you can go to the Fresh Coast Alliance Facebook page and click on events, scroll down to expungement class, like you said, and there's a link there. Mm-hmm. Click in and pre-do this. I'm sitting up and I'm trying to figure out, why wouldn't you take advantage of this? Mm-hmm. You know, why wouldn't you get involved in this? If you can get your record cleaned and don't have to face that question, have you ever had a felony? Now, according to the law, that's no. Mm-hmm. That answer is no.
Now, let me go back, because you said something earlier too, Ray, about armed robbery. Let me go back and just say this real quick. One of the founders of Fresh Coast Alliance was Nate Johnson, okay? Nate Johnson himself had an armed robbery conviction, which was expunged. Mm-hmm. Yes, you know, like I said before, armed robbery carries this a life offense. Mm-hmm. And so even if you don't feel you qualify, show up anyway and let the judge make that determination.
Okay.
Let somebody else who has the power to wipe it away be the judge in what's going in the final say.
That was one of the most remarkable things that I heard, that his armed robbery was expunged. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, you won't know unless you try. Right. And there are a lot of people that listen. The difference between you and I was maybe I did the same old dirt. I didn't get caught. But the thing is that here's a chance to make a wrong, make it right. Mm-hmm. To clear up. You shouldn't serve a life sentence for something that you paid pittance for. And the thing is that mm-hmm. people, society would want to continue to have that scarlet letter on you, that once a prisoner, always a prisoner, was a felon, always a felon, once a drug addict, always a drug addict, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. They will always want you to have that scarlet letter on you. And the thing is, you already paid your debt to society.
Mm-hmm. You've already done it. That's
mm-hmm. not
true.
Pastor Byrne.
Terry, let me ask you this. For people listening, that process where, you know, it's not automatic, or where you do end up in front of a judge who's got to hear your case, what's that like, and what should a person do? If suppose they may have to enter that process where they end up in front of a judge who has that final decision. Do they get a chance to present themselves and make a statement?
Absolutely, because the judge will ask questions.
Okay.
And in doing that, of course, we have to have I would have to show or convince the court proof of why I will not reoffend.
Okay.
And so that being said, you can't just walk in there and say, hey, I want this record exposed. You got this case pending.
Yeah.
You can't do that. It's not like that. Yeah. So, yeah, I think, you know, there has to be some obvious genuine likelihood or genuine proof of change.
Yeah.
And so that being said, of course, a person would be able to say, here is why I want to do this. And it would, you know, it would also help to have people encourage them on their behalf, you know, mm-hmm. people that support them. And so that might be more letters or, you know, just somebody keeping track of all the progress this person has made, because those things are real instrumental. They're so important.
So if I could say, like, just the same evidence that people use to convict you, you need to bring your same evidence to show you a different
person. Some evidence, man.
Right.
Don't just get up there and talk about I'm gonna be cool.
I'm gonna be cool.
Yeah, I'll be cool, man. You
know? how important is it, Terry, to once someone gets out, mm-hmm. to get involved? Like you, I mean, you're involved in the prison, mm-hmm. but once you got out, you got involved in the system right away to try to change people's lives.
Right. I think, man, I'm so glad you said that. I think for me, you know, because somebody asked me, why did I choose this line of work? And I don't think I chose it. I don't think I chose it. I think it chose me, because it's so important, because a lot of people can talk about what happened to them, but not many people will talk about what happened for them.
Mm.
And so for me, it's like I do it in the respect of saying, you need to figure out, first of all, where you go from here, how do you get there, and what has this experience taught you?
That's makes deep. Sense?
You got to say, this experience has taught me, and now you have to move towards that, and you got to find your group of people, which we call our tribe. You know, listen, you got to find your tribe.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people that I had a young man call me just over a couple of days ago. He said, hey, man, I got to find the people that are wanting to do recovery and that are doing it and are serious about it. You know, so part of that change is changing your association. You can't show up in the courtroom and say, you're out, I'm going to be cool. And you got your homeboy, Ray Ray. This is no knock. Hey, listen, if it's any Ray Rays out there, I ain't talking about you. Okay. you got Pookie and them sitting in the courtroom talking about, yeah, that's my dog. We finna do it, dog.
Spud, Nuck, Nuck, Nick, Nuck, you know, Biff. Yeah. And
you find your group of people who can say, yeah, this is the way he's going, this is the direction he's moving, and we're here to support him.
I'm
pastors too. I thought I said that.
Let's switch. I want to switch a little bit, and we'll get back on the expungement. I just started in prison ministry, and I absolutely love it. Terry, talk about how important it is to have people going into the prison and speaking life and or just listening.
Yeah.
Being a mentor.
To have men and women sitting in a place of isolation, a lot of times it carries abandonment, it carries loneliness, it carries the fact that nobody cares where they are. And for some people, that's a reason to climb out, but for some people, that's a reason to slip lower or to go deeper into the degradation or the mindset that they have. Mm. And so when somebody does come in, has no interest, don't have a horse in this race whatsoever. But you have people coming in saying, yes, we care. We want to help you, or how can we help you? Because here's the fact of the matter. Here's the real importance. I don't know if we ever think about it in this respect, but people that are incarcerated are going to be released, and sometimes they come back into the communities where they left.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, interesting.
Deep.
Yeah. So not only coming back into the communities in which they left, they're coming back into our communities. Mm-hmm. When I say that, I'm a citizen. And so the people that are incarcerated, 9 times out of 10, they're coming back into my community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pastor Burns.
Yeah, that's a good point there. In fact, that's all, you know, I worked at jail ministry for years, but that's the point I have to make to people is, mm-hmm. you know, they're coming back. You know, we can let them come back without, you know, some vice counsel. They just turn them loose, but no, eventually they're coming back to us. And so we have to, again, as pastors and even concerned people in the community, reach out and find a way to help with that transition.
Yes.
I appreciate those comments.
Terry, before we go back to the expungement, talk about some of the other things that are available for people that are just getting out and or just getting ready to get out. Mm-hmm. And they need mentorship. They need to try to figure out housing. They need to figure out all that because they've been in. We know some guys that have been in 48, 54 years and just get out.
Yeah. So when you talk about that kind of stuff, Fresh Coast Alliances has become one of the mainstays in Muskegon, so to speak. And they deal with a lot of that. They deal with housing. They deal with employment. They deal with a lot of the stuff that the men and women face coming out. And so I would just encourage them to get connected, you know, with Fresh Coast. And there are other organizations also around. There mm-hmm. are plenty of men that are willing to come in and help. And here's the thing about it. We have more organizations now that are being formed just for that purpose.
Right.
And so we're all over Muskegon doing things like that. But there's a lot of information inside the prison system about Fresh Coast Alliance and who they are and what they do. And that's always a good place to start, because here's the thing. If they can't do it or if they can't help, we know somebody that can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And so we can do make referrals and say, hey, you need to go over here and talk to, you know, X, Y, Z. But, yeah, I would say that would be the first place.
Hey, Terry, I want you to talk to the young individuals out there, or maybe some of the older mm-hmm. individuals who mm-hmm. are dabbling in the game, and they, you know, they go to bed going, "Hey, it's not going to happen to me." That invincible, you know, I'm invincible. But then they wake up the next day and find themselves at the end of a gun, going to jail, finding a prison. Mm. Talk to them individuals about that. Erykah Badu said the other side of the game. Mm. Talk about that.
I hear of a lot of young men in Muskegon that are dying. And sometimes it breaks my heart because I believe that they believe it'll never happen to them. And they find themselves on the end of a gun barrel. And to me, that is so disheartening because there are so many other options as a young man or as a young woman that can be explored to make their lives better. Mm-hmm. I used to think that it wouldn't happen to me. When the older people would try to talk to me about the stuff that I was doing. And I would say, no, it's not going to happen to me because, and it ended up happening to me and I ended up being that person. Thank God I didn't die, you know, but here was, I had that mindset of invincibility. And that's what I see a lot of our young people. And it's how they move now. They have these mindsets of invincibility that won't happen to me. I know how to do it better. And there's no better way because to me, I got to say it like this, the streets are undefeated. Mm-hmm. You cannot beat it, you know. And a lot of people think they can. I can beat it. And the only way, there's only a couple of ways out: prison, death, or you just quit. But don't. It cannot be beat. And in terms of the older men, it's like, if I can do it, you can do it. Because as long as you have breath in your body, you can always rewrite the narrative. Mm-hmm. You know, we know how the first few chapters begin, but once you one of my friends say, "Hey man, we're in the fourth quarter of life because we're older, you know."
Yeah.
Even in the fourth quarter, you can rewrite.
What are you talking about? The fourth quarter? I'm in overtime. I feel overtime. I feel like I've been hit by the Packers, man. Boy, I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, we can put it in overtime. We can rewrite the story. That's a good point. I'm glad you said that because yeah, we can be in overtime. It ain't got to be over. And so, yeah, to the older men, I say, it's not over. It's not over until it's over. You know, if you can think it, you can do it. If you can rewrite
What about the young game, though? That young game, fast money, fast cars, what they see on TV.
Mm. It's not good, man. It's not good. When you chase money, it's just not good. Money, let me put it like this. A wise man says, money makes a horrible master, but a wonderful slave.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, boy, you need to repeat that again.
Mm-hmm. Money makes a horrible master, but a wonderful slave. And so slaves chase after. You know what I'm saying? The slave will figure out how he can please the master, but mm-hmm. the one who is the master tells the slave what to do. So if money is your master, it's going to tell you, it's going to dictate to you what to do. Mm. It's going to have you doing some very unsavory things.
That's burned.
Yeah. Terry, you know, for all these, the people out there who say, look, my record's good. You know, I wash my car, take care of my yard, and this ain't me. Speak to those people and tell them, you know, why should we care about this? Why should we be passing this message mm-hmm. on to other people?
Mm. The thing is, it's about purpose. Mm-hmm. The purpose of man was never to just wake up and wash his car and do his yard and go in the house.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose was to somehow be involved in humanity and be the person or be the change in humanity that makes it a better place.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding that, and I had this conversation yesterday about mm-hmm. Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, White Lives Matter. It's not about that. It's about all lives.
Yeah.
Every single life, no matter who it is, it matters.
Right.
And so if you are just washing your car and you paying your bills and you going in the house and manning your own business, you're not living up to your purpose.
Come on now.
No.
You're not living up to your purpose. Your purpose, uh-huh. You were not created just to wash a car and pay your bills and go in the house. You were created to be part of humanity and make humanity better. Whatever knowledge you have, we know that knowledge is power. Whatever knowledge you have, it's nothing if you can't give it to anybody, if you can't help anybody with it. Yeah. It's absolutely nothing. Yeah. So I would say live up to your purpose. You're not living up to your purpose. You're squandering your gift.
Yeah. All right, it's 2:47. We have 13 minutes. I'm throwing a lot of information at you, Terry. I really appreciate it. Pastor, I really appreciate it. Let's get back on the clinic. The clinic is going to be at Fresh Coast. It's an expungement clinic.
September 10th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m.
And you have to pre-register when?
You have to pre-register by Wednesday, August 24th. You must pre-register by the 24th of August. And you do that by going onto the Fresh Coast Alliance Facebook page. And you click on their events. It'll talk about events. And then you scroll down and find the expungement clinic. And you pre-register right there.
One of some of the things that I'm looking at is that you must bring your ID. This is a one-stop shop clinic for getting your record expunged. After the 10th, you'll only have to wait for your court date.
Yes.
And looking at all the information that was sent over to us, which is just huge, how can somebody get, it's on the Facebook page, right? How people can get information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's right on the Facebook page.
And if you're sitting up there and you know somebody that has a felony and they're sitting up there struggling and stuff like that, here's a chance to get them involved. Share this message with them. Some of them might need to be slapped aside the head. If you need me, I got a big bat and it's at Louisville on it. People need, if they need some motivation, Terry, you're living your best life. And you're living healthy. I see it. That's one of the things you believe in. You believe in health. You believe in helping people with mental challenges. I've seen you in class, teach class. You're living your best life and you're all in this. What about others? How do they get to that point?
One decision away from having a totally, completely different life. It comes down to what decisions are you going to make for your life? And that's great. That's the bottom line. You get to that point by saying enough is enough. I've done enough by throwing my life away. Now let me help myself and just make that decision, make a quality decision and stick to it and just walk that way. I can say it's as simple as that, but sometimes you need that help. Somebody reaching out with their hand and saying, come on, let me show you how to do it.
Okay.
Decision. And if you're having difficulties in executing that, find somebody who's done it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I say this in my class, if you want to be a banker, guess who you're going to hang out with?
Good thing I'm with bankers.
Well,
bankers.
Yeah.
Because they're gonna show you how to bank. if you wanna learn how to fix cars, who are you gonna hang out with? You're gonna start hanging out with mechanics and people who know how to do it.
Going back to the board, Benita says wisdom. You're throwing that wisdom out there.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Benita. Appreciate that.
Pastor Burns.
Terry, you told me a little bit about your story. Was there anything in your growing up and background? You said when you got to Jackson, you made up your mind. However long you was there, you wasn't going to be the same person. Mm-hmm. Was there something in your growing up and your background to help you make that decision? Or was it just what you were faced with?
Yeah, there was a lot coupled with what I was faced with. Well, the thing about it is growing up the way I did, I've seen drugs and or violence completely decimate my family.
Okay.
And I knew that one day I would have a family and I didn't want my kids coming up like that, let alone my grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And so I had to be the one to implement a change in my family structure. Before incarceration, I had two children. Now I have one. My son passed away 7-8 years ago, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And he pretty much had a substance abuse problem where he started using a lot. And that ended up costing him his life. But I also have 9 grandchildren that are coming up behind me. And so when you asked me, was there something? Yeah, I saw my oldest brother get killed on the streets of Detroit, and he was involved in the drug scene. And, you know, my mother passed away from a drug overdose. I have a brother now that's in on the streets of Detroit, and he's addicted to heroin. It has been for the last, my God, at least two decades, probably even longer than that. And so when I look at that, it's like, yeah, this is my reason for doing what I do. I want to help people, and I don't want to enable them. I don't want to continue to have them be in that same cycle. I want to break the cycle, not only in my life, but in the lives of my community.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the board. God's Son 7, can CSC be considered for expanding?
There are different degrees to CSC, of course, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I do believe that 1 is a life offense, but I won't tell you no, because a little while ago, we was talking about the founder of Fresh Coast Alliance. He had an arm robbery. He's a floater. So I say, listen, even if you don't feel like you qualify, and show up, let the judge make that determination.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're looking at that CSC thing, it might be you were 19, she was 17.
Right.
I mean, it could be something like that. I mean, those things happen, but just don't sit back and just don't do anything. Right. Go in front of the judge. At least try.
Yeah, at least try. Don't tell yourself no.
Yeah.
Don't self-talk yourself out of something like that. Go and put it in front of a judge and let the judge have the opportunity to say yay or nay. Because like Greg, like you just said, it could be she was 19, you was 19, she was 16, you know, or 17 for that case, for that matter. And so that's not considered a life offense. So take it before the judge. Come to the expungement clinic. Let somebody talk to you about it. Don't be ashamed about it, because there's no point to be ashamed. We don't want to walk around in shame and fear. We want to walk around in freedom, complete freedom.
Right. Confidence and freedom. Hey, Terry, take us and talk to us about Thursday. I absolutely love Thursday's course schedule. Yeah. Sometimes stop me from being there. I love Thursdays. I love the class. Talk about the class.
The class on Thursday, which is a clear group, is, I think, I call it the think tank, you know, because we get there and we try to come up with the reason why we hold a lot of the mindsets and ideas that we have. Why do we hold this set of values that we have? You know, because I asked the people this one question. If I were to ask a group of people, and I know, Greg, you've been sitting there. If I asked a group of people and I say, well, what's the most important thing to you? They'll say, everybody know the answer to that, because it's like a no-brainer. Family, my kids. But nobody ever says, I am most important to me. I'm my number one priority. And that leads me to believe that people place little value on their own selves, and they place more value on other things and other people. And so when those people let you down, guess what happened? You have nowhere else to place your value. So I call it the think tank. It's like we want to say, why do we hold these mindsets? Why do we have these ideas? Why do we move the way we do? If we say that our families are most important to us, why do we put them in a position where they would lose us?
And let me say this is, and when you come to class, it's no holes barred. I mean, this is not the King James English. This is people talking for real stuff. Let me go to the board before you talk about that. God's Son 7 said, thank you so much. Please continue the passion for our community that you all have displayed. Thank you, sir.
Yes.
So let's go back to that. I mean, this is for real. When you bring up a topic on Clear, and you know you got parole officers, police officers, former firefighters, ministry people that have just been out for a week or a couple of days coming into class, and we're talking about police brutality. And it's coming about the whole mentality of why you think the way you think.
Yes. Why do you think the way you think? And when you ask people that, they'll tell you it's always been like that. That's how my grandmother thought. That's how my daddy thought. It's like, well, how do you think? He said, I think like them. It's like, no, you're your own individual.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's worse.
Yeah. That's incredible stuff. But yeah, that's what the group is about. I call it the think tank. It's where we come and figure out what's your next step.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, let's see if there's a different way to think, there's a different way to act, there's a different group of people to hang around, because life is so big, and we don't really know. Do you know one of the questions I asked Greg, as well as Pastor Burns?
Mm-hmm.
I asked people, I said, when I first moved here, I said, where do we go to hang out and have fun? And then, you know, they would give me, they said, we don't do anything. I said, y'all don't go to the beach? And I was blown away when they asked me. And y'all probably heard it before. We don't go to the beach because that's where the white people go. I said, who told you that? It's always been like that. I'm like, yeah. Are you kidding me? I have so much fun when I go to the beach.
Yeah.
It's just, that water is just so relaxing. It's so therapeutic. And it's like, wow. But those are some of the mindsets and ideologies that we set down, and we try to dispel those things and break them down.
Yeah. 2:58, a couple minutes left here. So, once again, you have to, we have an expungement clinic.
Yes.
You have to register by when again?
August the 24th.
Where do you need to go?
You need to go to the Facebook page of Fresh Coast Alliance, go down to the events, click down till you see events, or click over, and you go into the events and you pre-register right there. There's like a pre-screening that's done. And so when you get there, come on September 10th, your information will already be there.
All right, Terry Johnson, we'll have you on the show again. Thank you, sir.
I look forward to it, man. It's always a pleasure talking with you, brothers. Always.
Thank you, brother.
All right, guys, it's that time. Man, time really flew. Yeah. And listen, go out and sow a seed in somebody's life, a positive seed. In somebody's life, don't wait for something bad to happen. Give people their flowers now,
right now,
because they deserve them. Take care and God bless. Have a good weekend.
Take care. Bye. Mm-hmm.